May I see a show of hands of those devotees who every day do some chanting of Krishna's holy name? Ooh, awesome. May I see a show of hands of those devotees that would like to improve the quality of your chanting of the holy name every day? I see even more hands. There's two hands. Some people have two hands. Okay. That's going to be our topic today. In one book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes that, in fact, the whole book is dedicated to describing that the eight verses of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Shikshastakam, is a sequential step-by-step meditation on the holy name and improving or deepening the quality of one chanting in the holy name. The first two verses of that Shikshastakam are describing the glories of the holy name. Cheto darpana marjanam. By chanting the holy name, the mirror of the heart becomes cleansed of all impure things. Bhava maha dhavagni nirvapanam. The maha dhavagni, the blazing fire of material existence, becomes extinguished like a torrential downpour of rain can put out a blazing forest fire. Whereas any individual efforts, get out the firefighting equipment to throw buckets of water or so many things they tried, doesn't stop the forest fire. But a torrential downpour of water from the clouds, rain clouds, brings the end of the blazing forest fire. So also the blazing fire of material existence becomes extinguished by the chanting of the holy name. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam, the white lotus of good fortune is expanded by the chanting of the holy name. This means the awakening of devotional service, as we find in chapter 1 of Nectar Devotion. When devotional service is performed, the awakening of all auspiciousness, Shubhada, is made possible through the awakening of devotional service, which is what happens when you chant the holy name. The desire to serve Krishna becomes manifest and grows, and it expands. Vidyavadhu jivanam. The awakening of transcendental knowledge within the heart naturally also comes to be, because there's inherent knowledge of the soul. On the soul platform, there's knowledge of who we are and knowledge of God, and that becomes awakened through the chanting of the holy name. And so forth. The glories of the holy name are described in these verses. The mercy of the holy name. There's Nijasarva Shaktis. All the spiritual potencies of God are in each and every one of his holy names. And those potencies of God is very potent. In this material world, the most powerful thing is the sun. Without the light of the sun, there's no life in the whole universe. and that sun burns for a long period of time, but it eventually burns out. And that sun is but one sun. But Krishna is the source of all suns, and that's just his material potency. And his spiritual potency is millions of times greater. And all of his spiritual potencies are in each and every one of his holy names. And he has so many holy names, like Krishna and Govinda, etc. And he's made approach to his holy name so easy that there's no hard and fast rules. Niyamatak smarane nakala. You can remember Krishna's name at any time, at any place, in any circumstance. He's so merciful. Even understanding all these wonderful glories of the holy name, Mahaprabhu says, Dur Daivam, Idrisham Mahadi Naranuraga, I have no attraction. So we're chanting. So many hymns, so many people chanting. We're chanting. But where's the taste for chanting? Nanuraga. We're chanting because we know it's good for us. And we feel something. We feel some relief of material distress. Our minds become more peaceful. We feel some contentment. But a taste for the holy name. Is not something within our grip. In one morning walk conversation in Nairobi, Africa, Prabhupada was asked by one of the devotees during the morning walk, Srila Prabhupada, how do we know if we're chanting properly? And Prabhupada's answer was, you must. And then Brahmananda was his secretary at the time, and so he repeated, no, Prabhupada, he knows we must, but he wants to know, how do we know when we're chanting in a quality way? Prabhupada repeated, you must. So he asked the question in a slightly different language. Prabhupada, there's chanting that when we're chanting with real absorption, and there's chanting when we're just chanting. How do we know that we're chanting in the proper way? And Prabhupada said, there's no question. When you're chanting in the proper way, it's not 16 rounds. It's 16 million rounds. Because, like Rupa Goswami describes in the opening verse, one of the opening verses of Vidugdha Madhava, when, it's a very beautiful verse, when the holy name is being chanted properly, one experiences Krishna's dancing on one's tongue. And when that sound vibration enters the ear, it's like nectar. And when that sound vibration enters into the chamber of the heart, one's heart becomes thrilled with ecstasy, and one wants thousands of tongues and thousands of years, and one cannot stop chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada said, that is quality chanting. For all of you, there's no question, he was said, there's no question of quality chanting. You're chanting because you must. He understood the question from the beginning. You don't have taste, but you must, and therefore you chant. Now how to get from the stage of you must to taste? This Shikshastakam verse, text number 3, is Mahaprabhu's answer to that how does one get taste? Because when you have taste, then you have experienced quality. Taste requires purity. So the regulative stage, vidhi, sadhana bhakti, is required. That's, you must. It's a vidhi, it's a rule. You must. But when you're chanting because you must, there are other things to cultivate. An internal absorption in that activity, not just making the sound. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's making the sound. Now what about the absorption? What's the internal consciousness that will help us become more deeply involved in the holy name? So this Shikshastakam 3 is Mahaprabhu's response. We had a nice experience in Gita Nagari, our farm community in Pennsylvania. We spent 3 days just discussing this verse in many different forums. It was very, very nice. So those recordings you can listen to if you like. But just now we'll go through a very simple presentation on this one verse. So the very beginning, you're going to see the verse on the screen. You'll also hear Srila Prabhupada chanting the verse, a recording of Srila Prabhupada chanting the verse. So listen carefully. That's a very, the whole Shikshastakam sung by Srila Prabhupada like that resonates in a very special place in my heart, because when I was a very new devotee, the first recording that we had of Srila Prabhupada's voice singing was this. So I must have heard this 200 or 300 times. In the process of being a new devotee, it takes me back to that place. Many of us can verify those early stages of our devotion. They're very exciting, and then something happens after some time, we become not as excited. It's because we make offenses. That's what the conclusion is. Why that taste is not there is because we make offenses against the holy name. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's this nice verse that's describing the means of achieving perfection in the 4 yugas. Krite yadhyayate Vishnum. Krita Yuga is also another name of Satya Yuga. So Krite yadhyayate Vishnum. Meditation upon Vishnu is the means of achieving spiritual perfection. Trayatayam yato yatato makai. In Treta Yuga, yagya makai, the process of sacrifice, fire sacrifice, Vedic yagya, is the means of achieving spiritual perfection in Treta Yuga. Dvapare pracharyam. Pracharyayam, this is the deity worship process, the archana process. Worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord in his deity form. And in the age of Kali, Kalo tad hari kirtanat. The chanting of the holy name is meant not just so that we can become more peaceful and we can cope with the stresses of life. It's a nice method for stress management. But it's far more than stress management. It's meant to take us to the stage of spiritual perfection. This third verse of Shikshastakam is so important. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained it to his devotees, he said it's so essential for progressing on the spiritual path through the process of chanting, that one should take this verse, string it on the thread of the holy name, and wear it always around your neck, like an ornament that will always remind you of how you should carry yourself with regard to all the activities that you do in life, not just when you're chanting the holy name, but in all spheres of life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, raising my hands, as you see him raising his hands, I declare, everyone, please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. So we'll hear it again and again, three times in the course of this presentation, to help us understand, appreciate, and also remember. So there are these four features. Trinnadapi sunichena, feeling oneself lower than a downtrodden blade of grass. This is, on the picture on the left, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Jagannath Puri temple. He's taking darshan of Lord Jagannath by the Garuda Stambha, and as he's taking darshan by the Garuda Stambha, one elderly Bengali lady, so enthusiastic to see Jagannath, she climbed up on the back and on the shoulders, holding onto the Garuda Stambha and stepping on the shoulders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take darshan of Lord Jagannath, because the crowd was so big. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant saw the lady climbing on his back and said, get down, get down. That's Lord Chaitanya you're standing on. Get down, get down. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu scolded his servant, saying, she is the advanced devotee. She has such enthusiasm to see Lord Jagannath. If only I had the same enthusiasm, my life would be perfected. And as they were having this conversation, the lady looked down and she saw, oh, I'm standing on Lord Chaitanya's shoulders. She got down immediately and paid her obeisances at Lord Chaitanya's feet. And he was very pleased, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing by his personal example how one should not think of oneself as having a certain high position, a sannyasi, an elevated person in society. Who are you getting on my back? But he was very humble. And here we have a picture of Sanatan Goswami coming before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you see what's in his mouth? It's trin, a blade of straw in his teeth, coming before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very humbly, indicating how lowly, how insignificant I am in comparison to you, grasping his feet, begging his mercy. The very nice photograph of Krishna Balaram deities. Do you know where these deities are? Anybody know? Ter Kadamba. Anyone here been to Ter Kadamba in Vrindavan? So this is a very meaningful place for me. I like Ter Kadamba very, very much. Besides its significance in Krishna's Leela, Ter Kadamba is situated in between Yavat and Nandagram. Yavat is the place where Radharani lived as the so-called wife of Abhimanyu, her so-called husband. And Nandagram is on the other side. So right in the middle, a little closer to Nandagram, is Ter Kadamba. It's a grove of Kadamba trees. So in Krishna's Leela, every day when the cows would come home from their pasturing ground activity, the Goshal of Nanda Maharaj was very close. So Krishna would climb up the Kadamba tree and see that all the cows, 900,000 cows, made it safely to the Goshal. Because he is Gopal, he wants to give protection to the cows. And if any of the cows were missing, he would personally call them by their name and play upon his flute and attract their attention to come and take shelter in the Goshal. But also, because it was just between Yavat and Nandagram, it was a favorite meeting place for Radha and Krishna. Very convenient, where they could have their rendezvous and enjoy pastimes together. So it's a very sweet place. Just to go there, you feel it. And it's also a place where Rupa Goswami made his place of bhajan for those spiritual reasons. And these are the deities of Krishna Balaram at Ter Kadamba. And just above the altar of Ter Kadamba, the Krishna Balaram altar, is this verse written by Raghunath Das Goswami in praise of Rupa Goswami in his Dhanakeli Chintamani. Adadanas tranam dantayar idam yache punak punak srimad rupa padam bhoja rajoham syam bhave bhave. He is describing his humility of between his teeth taking a blade of grass, trinnam dantayar, adadanas trinam dantayar, and begging idam yache puna punaha for Rupa Goswami to kindly give just one speck of dust from his lotus feet so his life can become perfect. Who is Raghunath Das Goswami amongst the six Goswamis? He's our Prayojana Guru. You know what that means? Raghunath Das is the Prayojana Guru, means that he is of the perfection of devotion. There is knowing what is our relationship with Krishna, sambandha, gyan, acting within that relationship, avideya, gyan, experiencing the perfection of that relationship in the form of love of God, prayojana, gyan. Raghunath Das Goswami is our prayojana guru. So he is up there. Our Prayojana Guru is at the feet of Rupa Goswami, begging with great humility, with straw in his teeth, begging again and again for just a particle of dust from the feet of Rupa Goswami. There is humility. And what is the fruit of that humility when chanting the holy name? One experiences quality chanting. So we should cultivate following our great acharyas, the Goswamis, this mood of humility. As Mahaprabhu taught it, they did it. And similarly, Maharaj Prataparudra, he cultivated humility. And it's because of that humility before Lord Jagannath, although he was the king of all the land, he took the humble position of a street sweeper before Lord Jagannath. And with a golden broom, he swept the street as Jagannath was moving to get onto his cart from the temple. When Mahaprabhu saw that, his heart softened and made the arrangement for Pratap Rudra Maharaj to get his mercy. If you want to chant in a quality way, go after Mahaprabhu's mercy. But if you want his mercy, you must be very humble, like Pratap Rudra Maharaj. Or here, this picture on the left, this is Dandabhat's Parikrama. Sometimes when you go to Radhakund or Govardhan Hill, you'll see the devotees doing this Dandabhat's Parikrama. And Sanatan Goswami, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur described, and Srila Prabhupada likewise described, don't be an imitator of the residents of Radhakund. First become humble, like Raghunath Das Goswami. He did Dandavat's Parikrama every day in Radhakund. It said one of his vratas, every day he would pay obeisances 200 times to all the Vaishnavas. They would come to pay obeisances to him, and he paid obeisances to them. 100 times he paid obeisances before the deities at Radhakund, and he chanted 1 lakh of names every day. Every day. Although he's a perfected soul, he's Prayojana Guru, but he's so humble. Offering obeisances to other Vaishnavas 200 times every day. Fixed vrata. So devotees that do this Dandavat's Parikrama, it's not just for, you know, exercise, make their body, you know, slim and trim. It's for making the heart humble. You want to make the heart humble, practice being humble. And a very nice practice is paying obeisances to the Vaishnavas and offering some service to the Vaishnavas and practicing and practicing and practicing that humility. Think of Raghunath Das Goswami and practice humility. It makes the heart humble. Here again is Raghunath Das Goswami. What is the fruit of that humility? Here he's pictured by the side of Radhakund. This is Radhakund. And he was so absorbed in that mood of humility, chanting the holy name, that he didn't even recognize sometimes in Vrindavan. Sometimes here in South India it gets very hot. But in Vrindavan in the summer, scorching hot. So hot his body was baking. But he was just absorbed in chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So absorbed in calling for the mercy of Krishna in the form of his holy name that Srimati Radharani personally came and held her garment, upper garment, over the head of Raghunath Das Goswami so he wouldn't be burned by the rays of the sun. So she was being burned by the rays of the sun. From this picture you can see a little river of water pouring, the sweat that was pouring from her body into Radhakund. And she stayed there for the whole midday until the afternoon sun became a little cooler. And then she removed her upper garment and left. While all of this was going on, Sanatan Goswami was watching. Sanatan Goswami was like Big Brother. He didn't say anything because Radharani wanted to serve her dear devotee, Raghunath Das Goswami. But after Radharani left, Sanatan Goswami came and chastised Raghunath Das. What kind of bhajan you are doing? You're wanting, you're pleading for service from Srimati Radharani for Krishna, and Radharani comes and serves you. What kind of bhajan is this? What kind of renunciation do you have, Raghunath? You're so renounced, Radharani has to serve you? Please, Raghunath, build a bhajan kutir by the side of Radha Kund. Then Radharani doesn't have to come and serve you. You serve her. Raghunath Das Goswami's response was, yes, yes. But he just went on chanting because he was so renounced. Eventually the devotees built the bhajan kutir for him right by the side of Radha Kund. And you can see where his bhajan kutir was. Toror api sahishnunat. Very tolerant. Tolerant. Like the tree. Here is Prahlada Maharaj, who is being tormented, threatened with death by the agents of Hiranyakashipu. But he was just being very tolerant. Prabhupada describes in life, there may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant so that at the end of one's life one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. Tororapi suhishnana. More tolerant than a tree. Then, amanina. Amanina. Without expecting from others any respect. Just as Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, when approaching Jagai and Madhai, he was just imploring them, please chant the holy name. And Jagai and Madhai, being intoxicated and wild and half crazy, you can see in his forehead, they threw a clay pot and hit the head of Nityananda and it drew blood. But Nityananda was not expecting respect in return. He just continued to say, that's all right, please chant the holy name. And they were amazed at his tolerance, not demanding any respect from others. Like Maharaj Ambarish. He was offering all respect to Durvas Muni, and in return, Durvas Muni sent a fiery demon to kill him because it was the Dwadasi day after a year-long Ekadasi fast. And to fulfill the vrata, he had to take grain in the morning, had to take some, break the fast. But he didn't take grain, he just took charnamrita, little drops of charnamrita under the advice of the brahmanas in order to break the fast and not break the fast at the same time. Durvas Muni became so angry. But Maharaj Ambarish wasn't expecting respect from the one who he was offering respect to. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was beginning his Back to Godhead publication, he didn't have any money, but he gathered whatever little bit he could and printed the Back to Godhead magazine and went from tea stall to tea stall in Delhi. We read this in Leelamrita. And he sat with people who were materialists, not interested at all in spiritual subject matter, and sat down with them and encouraged them, my dear sir, please turn your attention to that which you don't want to turn your attention to. To spiritual knowledge, please consider the value of this human form of life. What happens when you do that? People don't say, oh, thank you very much for interrupting my day. They say, get out of here. Not interested. Or get a job, or so many other insulting things they say. But they don't say, oh, thank you. You're doing very good work. So he was a perfected soul, but going to the conditioned souls, offering his wisdom and his shelter and transcendental knowledge without expecting any respect in return. Amanina. But at the same time, ready to offer all respect to others. Manadena. This is Maharaj Yudhisthira receiving Nanda Maharaj, Narada Muni. When Narada Muni came to visit the Pandavas in the royal palace. This is a devotee. This is Duki Krishnadas, a painting, a very ancient painting of Duki Krishnadas first meeting Jiva Goswami. And when he came in association of Jiva Goswami, he just fell at his feet. One should be ready to offer all respects to others. Certainly to saintly people, but not only to saintly people and discriminated against others. Others that are in need of some assistance from us. We offer respect. We were discussing this topic of respect in the morning class. According to the teaching of the Vedic system, one certainly should respect the cows. And in the case of Magrari the hunter, he was respecting even ants. Because this is the quality of a Vaishnav. They're thinking of themselves to be not willing to give any harm or discomfort even to an ant. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's description that one should even respect the animals and the insects. This is chapter 14 of the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The chapter is called Perfect Human Civilization. The verse reads, one should even animals like deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, and birds, exactly like one's children. Prabhupada described that his father, Gaur Mohande, was a grain merchant, a cloth merchant. And what he did in the godown, the storage room, he kept a little pile of milk and grains so the rats can go there and eat the milk and grains and be happy they wouldn't eat the cloth. And we see this in compassionate souls. They'll make an arrangement from their stock of grains, or I know one family that they every day they would offer to their deities some nuts and dried fruits. And they'd place them on their by their house, just outside, the veranda of their house. And every day, I watched, because I visited their house, exactly at 7:30, the squirrels would come and eat the nuts and the dried fruits and then go away. The devotees explained they could set their watch, that the animals were so regulated, they came at exactly the same time. And this went on through all seasons of the year, even in the winter when it was just snow and very cold. They put so that the squirrels would come marching through the snow and come right to where they knew exactly where to go. And if they didn't supply those ingredients, the squirrels would have survived. It's not like their life is dependent upon me. Rather, this act of being compassionate and respectful to others is for our benefit. It's the quality that a devotee should have, this offering of respect to others always, will help us go more deeply in the chanting of the holy name. Haridas Thakur was honoring a snake that was inhabiting the same cave by the side of the river Ganga that he made as his home. This is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. the people that would come to take association of Haridas, they were very disturbed. They were afraid for Haridas's life because the serpent was huge, but he was also poisonous. And so poisonous that there was fumes that were stinging their eyes from the poison. He said, Haridas, how can you stand it here? Just we come for a few minutes and it hurts our eyes and you're living in this cave. We're very concerned for your welfare. And Haridas said, well, I'm perfectly comfortable, but if you're uncomfortable, then I can leave. By tomorrow morning, if the serpent is still here, I'll leave the cave and find another place to stay. Then you can come visit without any discomfort. As he spoke, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes this huge serpent with a big jewel on his hood went slithering out of the cave. Because super soul within the heart of the serpent is the same super soul in the heart of Haridas. And if Haridas was to leave, the snake was induced, he should leave. But as far as Haridas was concerned, better I leave than the snake leave. This is the humility and the respectful quality of a devotee that knows how to chant with taste. Because Ambarish Maharaj remained undisturbed by Durvasa Muni's offense, the personality of Godhead was not undisturbed. The personality of Godhead sent his Sudarshan Chakra not only to destroy the fire demon, but to destroy Durvasa Muni who released the fire demon. Until Durvasa Muni finally came to the feet of Maharaj Ambarish and pleaded for forgiveness. And what did Ambarish Maharaj do? He turned to the Sudarshan Chakra, offered prayers to the Sudarshan Chakra. In conclusion, he said, if there's any pious activities that I have done in my life, I hereby transfer all of those pious activities to Durvasa Muni, the same man who tried to kill me, so that those pious activities will protect him. Amanina Manadena. Who can be like that in our modern world? You'd have them arrested for murder. But Ambarish Maharaj is giving all of his pious activities, the fruit of all of his pious activities, to this bad person or person with a bad temper. This is the quality of a Vaishnava. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. This is a photo of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. I don't know if you can see from where you're sitting, but tears are gliding down his eyes when he had his last days of his melanoma cancer condition, which is extremely painful. He was sitting in the temple room with the devotees. They had to carry him because he had a broken collarbone. So it was very painful for him to even sit, even exist. But hearing the holy names of the Lord gave him solace, as anyone who is in a difficult condition will know. The chanting of the holy name in a humble state of mind brings one to that position. So now we're going to repeat. This is the statements of Krishnadas Kaviraj made in relation to this Shikshastakam verse. His paraphrasing of the statement of the verse. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than a straw in the street. Sanatan Goswami not only put straw in his teeth, but spoke in such a humble way. Prabhupada derived great happiness describing that Sanatana Goswami was such a scholarly person. He could speak fluently in 7 languages. He was the prime minister of Nawab Hussain Shah, which today would mean like half of India. He was fabulously wealthy. He was what so many people aspire for their whole life. And he just gave it all up like rubbish so that he could come before Mahaprabhu with straw in his teeth and say, I am such a fool that I don't even know who I am. Can you please instruct me, who am I? And what is my duty in life? He didn't just say it because it was cute or something nice to say before a saintly person. He felt it. Haridas Thakur, as he was being beaten in the 22 marketplaces by the agents of the king, and for what offense? For chanting the holy name. But he tolerated. He tolerated all of that. Devoid of all sense of false prestige. When King Prataparudra was given the opportunity of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he abandoned all his royal attire, took the cloth of a simple Vaishnav, and came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the garden, the grove where he was resting during the course of the Rath Yatra procession, massaging in a humble manner, massaging the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One needs to be prepared to put away, put to the side all of one's so-called designations of life. And even Mahaprabhu himself, showing all respect to others at the passing of Haridas Thakur, he personally wanted to serve all the Vaishnavas prasad with his own hand, ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, as did Haridas Thakur when approached by the prostitute sent by Ramchandra Khan. He continuously chanted the holy name in a humble state of mind. And as a result, he didn't become contaminated, but she became purified and became a great devotee. This is a very famous photograph in the bottom left of Srila Prabhupada in Golden Gate Park when he was ill. But even he was ill, he was so enthused by the spirit of the devotees that he got off the cart and danced practically the whole way. And by the end of the parade, he was radiating. And when Prabhupada lifted his arms like this, you know what happened to the crowd? They went crazy. They went... just by Prabhupada going like this. And as he saw everyone so enthusiastically chanting, he radiated such a wonderful smile. Everyone danced higher. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Just like Bhishma Dev, at the time of his passing, his one desire was, when leaving his body, to see the face of Krishna, calling upon Krishna's holy name. So whether one is a great king, or the picture here showing a simple widow, chanting the holy name with simple heart will allow us to chant with real feeling. So Krishna Das Kaviraj speaks, these are the symptoms of one who chants the holy name, the Hare Krishna mantra, without offense. Although he's very exalted, he thinks himself lower than grass on the ground. Like a tree, he tolerates everything in two ways. When the tree is cut down, it doesn't protest. Here's the tree that's protesting. He grabs the axe from the chopper and starts to chop the chopper. The tree doesn't protest. even when drying up, it does not ask anyone for water. This is Krishna Das Kaviraj. The words, and of course, it's a nice illustration. The tree delivers its fruits, flowers, and whatever else it possesses to anyone and everyone. Human beings. This is a woodpecker, a red-headed woodpecker. So he's pecking away at the tree, making a big hole in the tree. The tree doesn't protest. He's looking for little insects. So he's ripping the tree apart. The tree doesn't protest. He tolerates. And continues to supply all types of service. This is the consciousness that a Vaishnava should have. So some are taking fruits from the tree. Some are taking branches from the tree. Some are cutting the tree down. What does the tree do? He just supplies wood for those who want some fuel, fruits for those who want something to eat, whatever service he can do. He tolerates the scorching heat and torrents of rain. The seasons pass and the tree just stands there and tolerates. Nice series. Fall, winter, summer. And still gives shelter to others. Nice peacock under the shade of a nice tree. Even in the winter, some birds come and take fruits or little berries from the tree. Just rendering service in all conditions. Whatever service one can do, the tree does like that. So one should learn this nice lesson from the tree. Mahaprabhu is instructing us. When a devotee is engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord, he practices forbearance like that of a tree. Mahaprabhu showed that forbearance in his dealings with Ram Chandra Puri. When he came, it was a godbrother. Ram Chandra Puri was a godbrother of Ishwara Puri. But Ram Chandra Puri was very offensive. It was his business to make offenses, to criticize the devotees, exactly what we're supposed to not do. That was his program. And he couldn't find any fault with Mahaprabhu, so he invented faults. He came into Gambira one time, the place where Mahaprabhu was staying, and he saw some ants crawling on the ground. Aha! What kind of sannyasi are you? Eating sweets, It's not good for the regular principles of a sannyasi to eat too many sweets. And look at all of these ants. Mahaprabhu didn't reply by saying, my dear Ramchandra Puri, ants are everywhere. They just run about here and there and I haven't been eating any sweets. He was just tolerating. Mahaprabhu was instructing us. Now, we may be in a situation like that and we may offer an explanation, but we also may not. But in either case, we shouldn't be reactive. We should just tolerate. A Vaishnav, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami writes about this verse, a Vaishnav should not ask anything from anyone else. The perfection of that is Madhavendra Puri. His stage of sannyas was the Paramahamsa stage, which means that he didn't eat unless someone came and brought him something. So he was, fortunately he was in India, because if that was in America, you'd die. But in India, a mendicant, a sannyasi, is respected and people would come and offer something. But sometimes he would just fast for days. So one day, by Govindakund at Govardhan Hill. He was just sitting, chanting his japa, and a little coward boy came with some milk. That was Krishna. So Krishna came and personally brought some milk for him, saying some ladies of the village asked him to bring this. If someone comes and brings something, he can accept it. Otherwise, he would fast. And if nothing comes, a Vaishnav should be satisfied to eat whatever vegetables and fruits are easily available. This is Haridas Thakur at the time of his passing. He requested Mahaprabhu the special favor to not see his departure leela. It would be too painful for him. So he requested Mahaprabhu he voluntarily gave up his body with the feet of Mahaprabhu upon his chest and looking directly in the eyes of Mahaprabhu calling his name. What a departure. And just gave up his body. In the course of passing life, he does not give anxiety to others, but rather does good to them while forgetting about his own happiness. This is a painting of Srila Prabhupada at his printer. When he was printing the magazine, he'd go and read the proofs before many, many copies were made. And much inconvenience Prabhupada was undergoing. For what purpose? It wasn't for his own purpose. It was for the well-being of others. Quality of a saintly person is their life is meant for service unto others. Without the expectation, all those the others are going to say thank you. They may do the opposite of say thank you. They may say, get out of here. I've had many people ask, as a sannyasi, oh, I have relatives and I try to serve them nicely, especially in-laws, oh boy. Try to serve them nicely, and all they do is criticize me. They find fault and they're so unhappy and what should I do? This is what one should do. In the course of passing life, just simply try to serve others. And if there's appreciation, not appreciation, you go on serving others. Just because that's what life is for. Without consideration of your own happiness. Practicing forgiveness like that of a tree. And giving up violence towards other living beings, he protects and maintains them. Although Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he is prideless and gives all respect to everyone, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. Pandita Samadarshana from Bhagavad Gita. Vidya Vanaya Sampani. Brahmani Gavihastani, Shuni Chaiva Sapakicha, Pandita Samadarshana. So Vaishnav, who's practiced, knows that Krishna is within the heart of everyone. Everyone is the resting place of Krishna, and so naturally gives respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. If one chants the holy name of Krishna in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love for Krishna's lotus feet. This painting also has special significance for me. When I was a very new devotee, one of the first books that Prabhupada had written while he was still in India, before he came to America, was Easy Journey to Other Planets. So this was the cover painting. That's the easy journey to other planets. The devotee with a sikha flying behind and his beads out in the air. Straight to Krishna Loka. Passing all the other planets. Forget those spaceships and Sputniks. Through the layers of the universe, right into the spiritual sky and at the lotus feet of Krishna. Haribol. If one chants in the proper mood. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We have a loud chanter right here. This one boy has half the volume of the whole crowd. So this has been some time spent together to three times go through this Shikshastakam verse, so that the chanting that you do every day can be with a deeper quality. And it's not just three times then go home and forget. It's again and again. So important, Mahaprabhu said, to repeat, take the holy name, string the holy name, using that as a thread, string this verse and wear it around your neck always for constant remembrance. So to repeat and repeat and repeat and absorb your mind in these four qualities. Or feeling oneself lower than the straw in the street, or tolerant of the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others without any expectation of respect in return. Simply serve in a humble mood, always. In such a state of mind, you'll enter deeply into some taste for the holy name, and you'll want, like Rupa Goswami, to have millions of tongues and millions of ears, and experience great happiness as the holy name is dancing in the chamber of the heart. This is our teaching from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So take it up and watch the quality of your chanting increase. Hare Krishna. Okay. This kind of crowd is not one or two questions, but I'll take two questions. Who would like to raise a question? Is it a good question? Hope so. Okay.
Hare Krishna. I want to know, as we chant along every day, how to identify our spiritual progress. Identify stages in spiritual progress.
How to make spiritual progress as you chant regularly. That's your question?
How to identify that, it's basically the message of this talk, but how do we identify that we have made spiritual progress?
How do we identify that we are making spiritual progress?
Yes.
If somebody offends you, what do you feel? You don't have to answer the question, but when the real qualities of humility and tolerance, when there's real quality, this devotee over here, Nanda Gopal, really likes qualities. He'll tell you all about it. When there's real spiritual qualities, quality that doesn't depend upon circumstance, it's not about what feature of duality is out there and then I can manifest this nice quality. Independent of what's going on out there, the quality of the soul is being awakened. That's an indication that you're making spiritual advantage. Another very there's a scriptural reference for this. Next is Bhakti Parashano Bhava Viraktir Anyatra Cha. Bhakti Vinod Thakur describes, you can tell that you're making spiritual progress when there's some detachment for the worldly things that your life used to be made up of. Naturally it happens, not because, you try to get free from some attachment, but it just falls away. That's when you're making progress. Viraktir anyatracha. And so if there's detachment from worldly things, there must be some attachment for spiritual things. Bhakti awakens in the heart. Para isha anubhav. Feelings towards para isha, the supreme. you'll start to feel some feelings of attraction. When it's time to sit down and chant japa, your heart is going, wow, I can't wait. Not, oh boy, I've got to chant my rounds today. But there's some excitement. Prabhupada gives this example. Young man, can you sit down? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada gives this example. There's vidhi, sadhana bhakti, where just like we were observing the appearance day of Lord Nityananda. Did you see the Abhishek yesterday in the temple? You weren't here. Okay.
I just came today morning.
Okay. So, we have a very nice pujari here. He must have spent hours and hours and hours and hours preparing for that Abhishek. And he was happy. Because I was on the altar and he was, you know, I was getting fatigued and he was getting happier and happier. A joy. Not just so when there's a regulative duty you must do, you do it because you're supposed to do it. But when you're making advancement, the mind just goes to that activity and makes plans how to do it very nicely. It's a sign of spiritual advancement. Preliminary. But you think of ways in which to do some service nicely, very nicely, and it become enthusiastic, utsahan, to do that service for Krishna. And viraktir anyatracha, detachment. In this modern world, there's so many useless things. And marketing is to get you to buy into those useless things. You got to have one of these, or you can't be happy. Or you got to have two of them, if you're going to be really happy. You got to go see this and do that, and eat this and drink that, and smoke that. Or you can't be happy. Called marketing. And a devotee loses a taste for all that stuff. But because there's a greater happiness. The verse of Bhagavad Gita is Vishaya vinivartante niraharsha dehinam rasovarjam rasopyasya pram drishtva nivartate. When there's a higher taste, the visha, the attraction of the senses for sense objects, pales in significance. But then there's a higher taste. That's a symptom of advancement. So you can just examine yourself and see, as you go along in life, is this higher taste being experienced and have ways that will manifest itself? And from that higher taste, detachment from all temporary, ephemeral things. Even the, you know, the attraction for so-called material happiness or the feeling the pain of material distress. You lost something that you valued very much. Your gadget broke. Or someone stole your gadget or you lost it. Oh. One other good question. Thank you very much. When service is allotted to me by my superiors, then I am unable to focus on chanting. Rather, my attention is on how to do that service nicely. In those situations, how to focus my mind on chanting. Well, spiritual life requires that you can selectively bring your mind to that service that you're supposed to be doing. And then you bring your mind to the next service that you're supposed to be doing, and you bring your mind to the next service you're supposed to be doing. And the discipline is, when you're chanting, you don't do other things. You're chanting. And when you're doing other things, your attention goes to those other things in service to Krishna. The key, here's the key. The mood of service. It's too simple, right? Because service means you have a master. And it's your happiness to serve the master. And the master assigns some service. So you do the service. Because it's pleasing to the master. Because you're the servant and they're the master. And you have this relationship, servant to master. And Krishna is the master. So Krishna says, okay, take your bath. You know, the alarm goes off. Get up in the morning. Okay, I get up in the morning. And then sequence of things you do, and you're doing them for Krishna. And then it's time for chanting. That's also an assigned service. Now, your attention goes to chanting. It goes to chanting. It doesn't go to the other things. It goes to chanting. Because specifically, what part of the service of chanting is, the mind is not absorbed in other things. Inattentiveness in chanting is an offense to chanting, so you don't be inattentive. And do that service nicely. So that you can do your other services nicely in Krishna consciousness. Okay, there's our two questions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.